Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show. Live on this Monday evening with you, 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. The Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 92.9 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I am at JMSH316 on Twitter. He is at TheDLewis on Twitter. And this is your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So the Falcons did make a signing today as they signed Brian Borders. Borders, it says here, Borders spent time on the Bears practice squad last year and appeared in one regular season game. He split the 2021 season between the Cardinals and Titans and has also played for Washington, Jacksonville, Buffalo, since entering the league as an undrafted free agent in 2017. Borders had 42 tackles, an interception, 7 passes defended, and a fumble recovery in 32 career games. Now, again, they start talking about Okuda and Hughes and Flowers and Phillips and all these. Okay, again, this is a special teams move. This is a back end of the rotation special teams move. I'm guessing if I really dug deep into what Brian Borders has done in the NFL, it's probably been a lot of special teams. And that's probably where the Falcons are looking at him at. So, again, I don't think that he's going to, unless I magically see that he's done a lot of really good things and maybe has a high Pro Football Focus grade or something like that, I don't really know that, you know, there's a lot to be excited there about it. But, again, just more depth and things like that, and mostly probably on special teams. All right, let's see here. NFL.com columnist Mark Sessler. He's the Around the NFL podcast co-host, Mark Sessler, columnist for NFL.com. He's got his list out of the NFL's most improved teams in 2023. He's got the top 10 rosters that are improved the most. He's got the Jets, he's got the Browns, he's got Baltimore, Cincy, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Houston, Indy, Chicago, and then he's also got the Atlanta Falcons. Here's what he has to say about it. Quote, the Falcons have morphed into a hammer. They emit the vibe of an old school Belichickian Patriots squad ready to blast through teams like it's 2001. A mountain of cap space allowed the club to splurge, but the pieces fit. The front office wisely sealed up their own young talent with new deals for guard Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry. The Falcons then peered beyond to pad their offense, trading for Arthur Smith's former pupil Jonnu Smith and signing plucky backup passer Taylor Heinicke, while amping up the defense with deals for Jesse Bates, David Onyemata, Calais Campbell. Atlanta also sent a fifth-rounder to the Lions for a chance for a chance on hot and cold cover man Jeff Okuda. The Falcons then added strength on strength in the draft, picking up offensive lineman Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse after landing electric runner Bijan Robinson with the number 8 overall pick. With Tyler Allgeier already a backfield force, the Falcons are a logical candidate to lead the league in rushing attempts, especially when it's unclear if Desmond Ridder is the answer. Well, I will say that they will trade some of those carries that Marcus Mariota had last year. They won't give all of those carries to Desmond Ridder. Quarterback's not going to run as often. I don't believe so. Do I think that there'll be some runs for Desmond Ridder? Yes. But I don't believe that Desmond Ridder is going to run it as much as what Marcus Mariota did. So it would be natural. Plus two, not having Caleb Huntley as well, you don't necessarily have a three-headed monster, right? So, yes, they probably will lead the league in rushing attempts, but not necessarily for the reasons that he says, that they're just going to just run it on every play. No, they want to be a more balanced offense. Arthur Smith has talked about that. Now, again, the front office wisely sealed up their own young talent. Well, that's the thing that, you know, we've talked about, and that was one of the points that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot both made when it came to having cap space, or when the Matt Ryan deal went down and they had that press conference. That was the first thing that they talked about, was their inability to keep and sign some of their own guys. They were not able to keep some of the guys that they wanted because of cap constrictions. Although the funny part is that every team in the NFL finds money to keep guys except us. Like, we're literally the only team in the NFL that seems to adhere to this strict rule of cap and all this kind of stuff. So everybody else can do whatever they want, and the Saints just sign whoever they want, even though they've been in cap purgatory for about a decade now. They sign all of these people, and, you know, again, we'll just add Jarvis Landry and Honey Badger and all these. I mean, that's just how they do it. But, you know, again, they talked about the idea of making sure that they could sign some of their own guys, right? And that was when who's the linebacker for Jacksonville? I'm not going to ask you to look it up because I know it's going to take you 3 or 4 hours to look it all up. But the linebacker out of Jacksonville, Oluokun, Foye Oluokun. You know, when they weren't able to re-sign him and he signed that deal in Jacksonville. You know, that was a situation where they talked about the idea of being able to sign our own guys. Well, that's what they were able to do. They were able to sign McGarry. They were able to sign Lindstrom. You know, obviously they're going to have to pay out a good bit of money for A.J. Terrell, assuming that he bounces back and has another good season. They're going to end up having to, you know, come off the hip for a whole bunch of cash to keep A.J. Terrell. You know, he's already getting a nice, you know, one-year, fifth-year option, you know, but they're going to make him probably close to a $20 million, you know, per year cornerback in the NFL. And if he has another really good year like he did a couple years ago, then, you know, that's to be expected out of all of it. So, again, are they one of the 10 most improved teams? Sure. I mean, I'll buy that. I mean, we have had 20 losses the last 2 years. So I'm not saying that there's nowhere to go but up, but there's nowhere to go but up. All right, very quickly here before we get to break. Arnold Ebiketie talking about improving in year two and talking to the media. Quote, "I'd say it's a lot different, feeling more comfortable. I have a better understanding of what I'm doing out there compared to year one, where I was still trying to figure myself out, trying to figure out what the NFL looks like. So I'll say this year I'm definitely more excited because I have an understanding of what's coming ahead." And that's all good, right? That's exactly what we want to hear. And he talked about the idea of the game slowing down, also talking about Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree. Quote, "I love it. I enjoy every single moment, just the knowledge you pick up from those guys every day, just picking up every little nugget I possibly can." So, look, he talked about the idea of the game slowing down for him. He said the main point was, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to put a lot of work in, and that was just what we needed, what we intend to do the rest of OTAs and going into training camp. So, look, Ebiketie is talking about all the right things. Quote, "Everything's just way slower than it was when I first got here, and my knowledge of the game also got better. So it's a combination of a little bit of everything. And again, I have said repeatedly that I think Arnold Ebiketie is the guy that has to take the biggest leap forward. He has to take the biggest leap forward for this franchise on defense. We have to find that fire breather that comes off the edge and can get the quarterback down on the ground. We have to find one of those guys that changes up the dynamic of a game in the NFL from that position. So, again, all good words coming out of Ebiketie. Let's hope that everything translates to on the field, and certainly he's going to get a chance to prove himself this year and maybe his coming out party. All right, when we come back, Heather Dinich, senior college football writer for ESPN, is going to join us. We'll talk with her about all kinds of different things. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll get into a What's Bugging Chuckery coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Had a chance to talk earlier today with senior college football writer Heather Dinich from ESPN. She is on Twitter at CFB Heather, one of my more favorite people to talk to about college football. And we're getting a variety of different topics and such. But one of the things that I asked her about was the idea of the 8-game schedule for the SEC coming up in 2024, why they couldn't come up with a long-term solution, why they couldn't figure out anything plus 2024. So, you know, and the idea of, is this big schools, is this small schools that are holding all of this up as far as the schedule, you know, issues go? Why can't they get things figured out? So here's what she had to say about it.
You know, just the simple fact that some of these people can't agree on it. I was not in Destin so I couldn't tell you exactly who's for what. I wasn't at the SEC spring meetings, but, you know, my understanding is that it's just a matter of not everyone being on the same page. And in talking to Greg Sankey about it repeatedly, he never came right out and said, I would like 9 conference games, but he certainly hinted that that was the direction that he was leading. But ultimately, he doesn't have the final vote. It was all of the athletic directors and, you know, presidents and chancellors weigh in as well, of course. So that's where it wound up.
Heather Dinnis joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, senior college football writer for ESPN. ESPN.com is where you can check out all of her work. You wrote an article talking about the Big 12 and possible expansion. I guess a couple of things. One is, where would they be looking at this point? And I guess, what's the idea behind the Big 12 expanding? I mean, as we see, conference is pretty comfortable. I mean, the SEC has talked about being comfortable where they're at. And I talked to Greg Sankey at SEC Media Days that he's comfortable where things are at. Why do you think the Big 12 is looking to expand? And where do you think they even go at this point?
Well, one of the reasons that they're considering it is because they would like to, in their words, be a national conference, not a regional one. They want to have schools and programs in all 4 time zones. So that's part of it. And then there's also trying to expand the markets and revenue opportunities. The reality of it is, one of the things that they're considering is having some schools join for basketball only. And I did have a source tell me that at their recent spring meetings at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, there were conversations about Gonzaga and UConn in that capability, but there's nowhere near a definitive conclusion to this yet. And that's all because everyone, including the Pac-12, is waiting to hear what the Pac-12's media rights deal is. So there's just, what's unique about it is that their commissioner, Brett Yormark, at least from a Pac-12 perspective, until you know what that media rights deal is going to be.
So when you say national conference, I mean, is this, for lack of a better term, is this trying to stay relevant as far as the playoff goes? Or, I mean, if we're looking at the expanded playoff, is this just them trying to, I don't know, cling to whatever hopes that they have of finding as many teams as possible to be in a playoff scenario? I mean, does this kind of surround itself around the expanded playoff with everybody trying to get a seat at a potential table?
Some of it certainly does. Some of it is about jockeying for the best position in a 12-team playoff. That's going to start in 2024. So there's no question that that's part of the conversation. I actually talked to one source in the Big 12 who said as much tonight. But it's also not the only one. There's also, and to go back to your question about the time zone, I mean, I guess that's where a school like UConn comes into the picture. I mean, you can't get much further than that. But that is a desire to be, as Yormark said, without mentioning schools' names, the best, brand themselves as the best basketball conference in America. Is there a chance to do that? So all those conversations are happening along with how to best position themselves as a league for the college football playoff. I mean, the reality here is that everybody's fighting for third place behind the SEC and the Big Ten, because that's where it is in terms of schools, revenue. But at what point does this change from, it's a numbers game, how many schools can I get in my conference, to this is what will truly bring us value down the road?
And you mentioned basketball, because it is interesting that, look, there's money to be made in basketball. I mean, there is certainly revenue there. It's not football money, but certainly, I mean, how important is basketball becoming in the land of football powerhouses? I mean, how important is just having that other sport being a revenue driver for some of these conferences and schools?
Well, Yormark said that, you know, nobody's naive about it. This is that college football is the one that drives, is the moneymaker, right? So they're cognizant of that, which is why this basketball conversation might not go anywhere. But at the same time, it's certainly possible, because one of the first things that comes to my mind is Notre Dame, which is independent in football, but it's a member of the ACC in every other sport. You know, it's got that agreement in football to play 5 games with the ACC. But there's certainly a model out there.
Heather Dennis joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, senior writer of college football for ESPN. ESPN.com is where you can check out all of her work. When you look at the expanded playoff, we kind of got the template for it about what's going to happen. How much of a push was there to play early games at home versus playing them in some type of neutral site? Who was kind of in favor of the idea of home games, and who was kind of maybe looking at more of some other type of model that would have included maybe neutral or bowl, lesser bowl games or things like that?
My understanding is most everyone at the table, with the exception of obviously bowl season, which wasn't at the table, to expand the playoff, was in favor of those first round home games. And that's something that is going to be exciting for the fans and that athletic directors are trying to figure out. But obviously bowl season would prefer to have as many games as they can at those neutral sites or at bowl games to sustain that. And there is a concern about what this will do big picture to the overall bowl system. I had a chance to visit with Nick Saban this spring, and that was one of the things that he brought up. And man, I remember talking to him years ago about this and his concern for that, just as the college football playoff was starting, about how the rest of it would be devalued. But, you know, it depends on who you ask. I live here in Annapolis, and the Military Bowl is one of those examples of a bowl that brings community together and has all kinds of different events and super family friendly, and the players certainly enjoy it. So it all depends. But I know that those home games for the first round are something that decision makers were very supportive of.
So could this be a crazy concept when I say this, but could we potentially see teams that, if they get eliminated in the first round, still end up playing in a separate bowl game? If we're going to lose some of that bowl system, do you think that there's a possibility that losers in the first round could find themselves in some other ancillary bowl game?
Well, first of all, with the way college athletics is right now, I don't consider any scenario that you would throw out there crazy. Because USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten, they like that, that's already out there. So anything else that happens, it's like, yeah, sure, why not? The reason I hesitate to say that would happen is because I bet the players are tired. I bet you after they're done that game, they don't have much interest. You know, I could be wrong, but that's my best guess, is if you make it to the college football playoff and you lose in that first round, you're just like, that's it. I don't know how much desire there would be to do that, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if that was a suggestion and at some point a discussion.
So let me ask you this question. You know, obviously you were just talking about the idea of UConn potentially being in a Big 12 conference system. Obviously, we're seeing USC and UCLA that are going to the Big Ten, and you've got Rutgers on one side and Maryland on one side of the country and UCLA and USC on the other side of the country. You know, at what point does the cost-benefit figure into travel and everything else? I mean, I know that these are big programs, and obviously it's all about the TV revenue, but you know, again, they play more than football. I mean, when you're talking about these sports, it's more than just football. It's volleyball and, you know, it's lacrosse or whatever, or swimming or whatever. I mean, you know, you, when you factor in all of these other sports, there can't be any money to it. I mean, it just seems silly when you start talking about all the other sports besides football that are non-revenue generators, where you're going to be traveling across the country in some of these conferences.
It really is hard to fathom. And then not only come home and take an exam, right? And go to 8 a.m. class the next day. So the logistics of it are hard to wrap your head around. But two things. One, I would be shocked if all of those teams weren't on charter flights, right? They're not. I would doubt they're like you and me, herding like sheep on the Southwest in the C-23 lane, getting on these planes and fighting for space. So I think that their travel will be made as easy as possible. And it wouldn't surprise me if they play more regional games as well. So I don't know. It's going to be an experiment. But back to your point about TV revenue, yes, that is a driving thing. But the thing people have to realize is down the road, you know, USC and UCLA, I want to see them play Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, right? How much are people going to care about USC Rutgers? Every conference, I don't care how big a badge you are, is going to have matchups like that.
Right.
And TV wants to pay buku bucks for LSU Alabama. Well, how many of those games are there, you know? So as these conferences get bigger, even the Greg Sankeys and Tony Petitti's of the world have to at some point wonder, well, how much value is there in team 18 playing team 19? And when do you play those games? Those are very real questions. So, you know, as people talk about 20-team conferences and such, there's a reality to the TV aspect of it as well.
Last question for you, Heather. Any reason to think that Georgia won't be the overwhelming favorite to be number one in preseason and be on track for a third national title? I mean, this is the glory days of Georgia by far, but any reason to think that they won't be the overwhelming favorite coming into the season?
I think they'll be the preseason number one. I do. I don't know that they'll stay there. You know, like I said, I had a chance to meet Alabama. Nick Saban says, hey, we're pretty good too. You know, a lot of teams have new quarterbacks. Ohio State has got the razzle dazzle coming back on offense. They have a new quarterback too. You know, LSU was ahead of expectations last year. It's the second season under Brian Kelly. They're going to be gunning for him as well. So, you know, I think it's going to be pretty interesting. The SEC West Division, Georgia should, in theory, be undefeated, right? But Tennessee has home field advantage. I mean, it's hard. There's a reason that nobody's done it three times in a row since, like, 1936.
Senior college football writer for ESPN, Heather Dennis, joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can check out her Twitter page, at CFB Heather. Heather, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for being on with us here in Atlanta, and we'll certainly chat again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Monday night with you. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line to be a part of the show. Day Day, I think that I have identified the pistol that I'm going to buy.
Okay.
It's a Steger firearm. Have you ever heard of Steger? S-T-O-E-G-E-R.
No, can't say that I have.
So they are made by the same people who make Benelli. Have you ever heard of Benelli shotguns?
In all honesty, no. I'm not very familiar with firearm types and things of that nature.
Benelli is a famous Italian shotgun company. Like, Benelli shotguns are world-renowned. But this is a company that is a spinoff of them and also of Beretta. You ever heard of Beretta?
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
So they're a spinoff of them. I was getting a feel for some of their firearms, and they're actually very, very reasonably priced. They're very, very reasonably priced. 9mm. I was looking. I wanted one type of pistol. They didn't have that available, and they couldn't order it because it's a last edition, the one that I wanted. And then I started looking at some Glocks, and I was like, okay, you know, I obviously, you know, a Glock is a really good firearm, and, you know, it's well-made. I mean, you know, if you have a Glock, you know, they, you know, it's a warranty for life. And, you know, their factory's over here in Smyrna.
Yeah, I drive past it when I do DoorDash.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Where is it in Smyrna?
Highlands Parkway.
Highlands Parkway. What is
that? Yeah, right off of South Cobb. It's kind of an industrial area.
Oh, okay. All right. So their facility is right over here, mm-hmm. you know, in Smyrna. And I was looking at that, and then this guy started showing me that, hey, take a look at this Stegger. And because some of the Glocks were heavy. Like some of them were like heavy in your hand. And hopefully, listen, you never have to use it, but this Stegger, Stoeger, was pretty cool. Like, they were reasonably priced. There's a rebate on them for like $50 off right now, through July. And you know, I'm leaning toward that's gonna be my fight. Because listen, I'm trying to figure out my rifle. Because again, I have my end of the world bug out bag, right? And it's coming. I'm telling you, like it's whether it's the zombies, whether it's an EMP, the end is coming, and I want to be ready for all of it. I want to be gotcha. Ready. I want to be ready when down. It happens. Yeah. So I think I've got my pistol figured out for what I'm going to buy. So anyway, thought I would let you know.
Nice.
Just to you know, just for some light conversation, right. in all of it. So anyway, Atlanta United will be back on Wednesday night. Obviously this match kind of just, you know, at the last minute kind of thrown together hodgepodge style, but, Atlanta United will be in LAFC, take on LA. And, that will be coming up at 10 o'clock. It'll be a 10:30 kick. Jason Longshore and Mike Connie will have the call for all of that. So we will be on from 7 to 10 on Wednesday night. So we'll lead you right into pregame action of Atlanta United. So that should be fun. And then I'll be at the match on Saturday. I will be, DC United, I guess. They'll be back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I'll be at the DC match with my daughter and her friends.
Nice.
So we'll be hanging out there. So my daughter is going to wear. We got the, you know, those new kits, you know, the new updated kits or whatever like
right.
that. The black and the five stripe type kit, the black
right.
and the gold and red and everything like that. So they sent us custom jerseys with the name Chuckery on it. So my daughter's going to wear her custom.
Oh, nice.
Jersey.
Nice,
so,
sweet.
I mean. A grown adult doesn't wear a jersey with his name on it.
Well, you, yeah, because
huh?
You do.
What?
Yeah, there's a reason
Why?
Behind it. Because if your player gets moved on, then you're not stuck with a jersey with someone's name on it that's no longer on the team.
Okay, but isn't it, again, when you have a jersey with your name on it, like, are you part of the team or? I mean, listen, I love the fact that Atlanta United got us kits, and I love it. I mean, it's fantastic, but. I mean, it's
kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, my daughter can wear it. I mean, I don't think a grown adult male should be wearing.
You definitely should, especially if you're going to the game.
At 51 years old, I'm wearing a kit with my name on it.
Yes, heck yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well.
No. You know, I really want. I went to Dick's over the weekend, and I need a new one of the. You know the Braves home uniform red?
Yeah.
Okay, I want that T-shirt. And mm-hmm. and I bought one from the Braves store before, and it's kind of faded and all that. So I guess I got to go to the – because all of the ones that they have players' names on the back, like Ozzie Albies, Acuna, Olsen. Like, you can't wear a shirt with – a player's name
on it.
Yeah,
not a T-shirt.
Right. Like at 51 years old, you don't wear a, you don't wear something like that, right?
No, not a T-shirt. A jersey, sure, but a T-shirt, no.
A jersey? No way.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't worn a jersey in a long time. Now, I still have my Falcons jersey that has Day-Day on it, and I'll wear that from time to time.
All right. I mean,
I'd rather have, because again, what if you, I mean, like, look, I have a whole bunch of number 7 jerseys, but they don't have, well, now they won't have Bijan, they won't have Robinson on the back. And I've got like several different colors.
I mean, do they all say Vic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I even got his high school jersey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, as a gift or a throwback or what?
I don't remember how I got it, but I've got the. Remember when they went with that black and white skin? I've got the black and white. I've got like 6 Vic jerseys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess you were definitely a fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, I'm not wearing the.
Dude, it's got your name.
Yeah, but again, it's just.
That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
It is cool, and it's cool for my daughter to wear it. But again, I'm a grown adult male. I'm not a soccer player.
Well, I need some new team gear with my name on it. Atlanta United, hint, hint, Day-Day.
Oh, listen, we've never gotten stuff in the past from some of these teams. The Hawks have sent me some stuff. The Hawks have sent
nice.
Me. I've got a jersey. I think it has my name on it. I think I have a Hawks jersey with my name on it. So, I still have my Matt Ryan jersey because the Falcons gave us, remember that Monday night game against the Giants that they played here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium? They gave us jerseys for that game.
Nice.
Rick Kamla and I broadcast from Mercedes-Benz, and they gave us jerseys for all of it. So, all right, speaking of jerseys, let's go to what's bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, you know what, Day-Day? I don't trust these crypto people as far as I can throw them. So, do you remember what the AAF was? The Alliance of American Football?
Yeah.
Do you remember the AAF? It was a few
years
ago.
Yeah, we had an Atlanta team.
Right, exactly.
As a matter of fact, did that one ever take off?
No. Who was the Georgia quarterback? Who was the Georgia quarterback? It wasn't. Aaron. Was it Aaron Murray
that played?
I think it was Aaron Murray. Well, the former part owner of the Minnesota Vikings, who was also part of the AAF, the former part owner Reginald Fowler, 64, of Chandler, Arizona, part owner of the Vikings. He defrauded the short-lived pro football league known as the Alliance of American Football, the AAF, in a $700 million cryptocurrency scam, and he was sentenced on Monday to over 6 years in prison. 64 years old, he was sentenced to, in Manhattan, in federal court, to 6 years and 3 months in prison in order to forfeit $740 million and pay restitution of $53 million. So the AAF ended in 2019 when it ran out of money. Prosecutors said Fowler lied to the league's executives when he claimed to control bank accounts with tens of millions of dollars from real estate investments and government contracts that he could use to support the league. In 2005, he tried to buy the NFL's Minnesota Vikings, becoming a minority owner before his involvement in the team ended in 2014. U.S. Attorney Damian Williams said in a statement that Fowler broke the law by processing hundreds of millions of dollars of unregulated transactions on behalf of cryptocurrency exchanges that were used as a shadow bank. He did so by lying to legitimate U.S. financial institutions, which exposed the U.S. financial system to serious risk. He then victimized a pro football league by lying about his net worth in exchange for a substantial portion of the league. I'm telling you, That what's that guy's name? Sam, whatever, the STF guy, right? He was involved in that cryptocurrency. I read a report that from Reuters that cryptocurrency crime for the year 2022 was up $22 billion year over year.
You know what?
$22 billion with a B, yeah, year over year.
You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember the movie Boiler Room?
Oh, yeah.
That's what all the crypto stuff reminds me of. Every time I hear a story, exactly what it reminds me of.
It's like Giovanni Ribisi, you know, on the phone talking to somebody, or Vin Diesel on the phone, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's what it's like. Yeah. I mean, I don't trust cryptocurrency. I don't trust crypto. I don't trust NFTs. I don't trust any of that stuff as far as I could throw it.
Yeah.
Who was it that, oh, man, somebody's now getting into the NFT business that I saw a story on, but I don't trust any of that stuff as far as I could throw it. I don't trust crypto. It's too volatile. It's just way too volatile. And I know that there are stores that use it, but what backs it? There's nothing that backs it. It's on whims and a prayer that everything is worth the kind of money that you invest into it. And too many of these guys are getting rich off of it and then saying, hasta lasagna, don't get any on ya. That they're just, all of a sudden, it's going away. That STF guy, what's his name? Sam something was his name. Put in your Google machine, the STF guy. I don't remember what his name was, but he was mixed up in all that kind of stuff, right? He made billions of dollars and then went bankrupt over all of it and suckered some people in to all of it. Have you got the STF guy? Here, I'll find it. What was he? I forget what it was, but again, I don't trust these crypto guys as far as I could throw them. I wouldn't get involved in cryptocurrency. I know there are some people that have made money off of it, but I'm not getting mixed up in all that. I'll play my stocks, and I still have, you know, some different stocks that I invest in and things like that. And I'll invest in marijuana stocks. Like I invest in marijuana. I invest in silver. You know, I mean, I'll have stock in companies, you know, like that. You know, maybe the cannabis industry will either take off or go under or something like that. But I invest in cannabis companies. But I'm not getting mixed up in this crypto.
Sam Bankman-Fried?
Sam Bankman-Fried. Yeah, SBF. Yes. Yeah, sorry. I was saying STF has a different meaning.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I was like. I don't think.
Yeah, what is it? STFU. Yeah, that has a little different meaning. So SBF, yeah. Sam, what's his name? Sam Brinkman Ford or whatever?
Yeah, Fried.
Fried. Okay, Max Fried or whatever. I mean, so Sam Fried, left-handed pitcher for the Braves, his brother. I don't. When you see that guy's picture, I don't trust guys like that. I don't trust guys like that as far as business dealings go. But anyway, that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. All right, more to come. Top of the hour. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, not to the game. Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.